Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports. I want to hear a little stand-up action now. Can you give me that stand-up bridge?
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's stand up and kick off again with the world's top club football competition, the UEFA Champions League. Atletico Madrid manager Diego Simeone says his club's semifinal against Bayern Munich is still wide open after his side prevailed 1-0 on Wednesday. An early goal by 21-year-old Saúl Ñíguez was the decider. In the 11th minute, Ñíguez cleared three Bayern defenders before hitting a low, well-placed shot into the far corner of the net. Atletico's tough defense then took over, and the Spanish club held on for the important victory. A draw next week in Germany would be enough for Atletico Madrid to reach the UEFA Champions League final for the second time in 3 years. Simeone says the return game should be exciting, and it will be a difficult challenge. Meanwhile, his managerial counterpart for Bayern Munich, Pep Guardiola, says his club had a slow start and will have to play at a different pace in the second leg. He describes Ñíguez's goal as brilliant, but it came off a mistake. Simeone says his players were standing off Ñíguez. Excuse me, Guardiola said that his players were standing off Ñíguez. Five-time champion Bayern is in the semifinals for a fifth consecutive year. The proud German side has been eliminated by Spanish clubs at this stage of the Champions League in each of the past two seasons, losing to Real Madrid in 2014 and to Barcelona in 2015. Bayern threatened more in the second half Wednesday and created some clear scoring chances, but couldn't capitalize on any of them. In the 54th minute, David Alaba hit the crossbar with a long-range shot. Bayern also came close to scoring with a header by Xavi Martinez in the 56th minute and on a powerful shot by Arturo Vidal in the 73rd minute. Both of those attempts required difficult saves by Atletico's Slovenian goalkeeper Jan Oblak. And let's give a sunny side of sports salute to the 23-year-old Oblak, who has now kept a clean sheet in five consecutive matches. And speaking of clean sheets, in the first leg of the other UEFA Champions League semifinal, Real Madrid and Manchester City played a scoreless draw on Tuesday in England. The decisive second leg will be played next week in Spain. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America.
The Voice of America.
VOA. Voice of America.
Frankfurt, I made.
Washington.
Hey, g'day, mates. Remember me? This is the old sports emperor with a red-hot listening tip. That's right. Give a listen to my pal, the bright and lively Sunny Man on the Sunny Side of Sports, right here on the Voice of America.
In this Voice of America programming note, my special guest on Friday's show is none other than the old sports emperor Barry Mon, who retired from the VOA in 1999, but is still remembered fondly for his royal and sporty reign as host of Sports Journal. The old sports emperor Barry Mon, my special guest on Friday. Now let's go to Zimbabwe's capital, Harare, where Africa's oldest sponsored horse race takes place next week. Reporter Michael Kiriati has this preview for us from Harare.
The Mashonaland and Turf Club have released the horses for Zimbabwe's biggest horse racing event, the Castle Tankard. But surprisingly, there is only one Zimbabwean horse in the 14-horse lineup. Most of the horses in Zimbabwe's biggest horse racing event are being imported from South Africa, with another coming from Singapore, as Zimbabwe's horses do not meet the standards of participating in Grade 1 races due to a combination of factors. The chairman of the Mashonaland Turf Club, Christopher Pitch, says Zimbabwe no longer is up to standard horses, as most of the country's top horse breeders were removed off their farms during the land redistribution program, and those who took over the farms know nothing about horse breeding.
What has been happening to Mashonaland Turf Club racing of recent years is that most of our horses running around this track here are born and bred in South Africa. That did not used to be the case. We used to have a very powerful breeding industry in Zimbabwe, and that breeding industry took 60 or 70 years to produce, and it produced some great winners and some great horses over the years. But unfortunately, with declining fortunes of breeders, partly due to the fact that many breeding farmers are no longer on the land, and partly due to other declining issues within the economy, our breeders are not as strong as they used to be.
Pete says it will not be easy, but will take at least about 20 years to restore Zimbabwe to the good old days when the country had some of the best horses in Africa and in the world, such as Ipitombe, who won races in South Africa, Dubai, and the USA.
I have every hope that within the next 20 years, Zimbabwean breeding of racehorses will get back to its former glory, and that one day you'll be standing here and saying, isn't it nice to see that the field is made up of Zimbabwean bred horses?
Even Talitoo, the Zimbabwean bred horse in the Castle Tankard, is not among the favorites to win the 2,000-meter race and has been placed by the bookmakers as an outsider at 25-1. The favorites to win the race are Flux, who is coming from Singapore, whom the bookmakers have placed at 22-10, and Yura Kilon from South Africa, who is at 5-2. Jockey Takua Magnusa, who is not racing in the Castle Tankard, also picks Flux as his favorite to win the 2,000-meter race, saying Talitoo is out of the league in this field.
The horse that came from Singapore, Flux, the number one horse, I think he's got a big chance. Irekle, number two, with one, I think is the biggest danger. To me, I think Irekle will win the race.
Another of the Borodale Racecourse jockeys, Daniel Frank, also admits that the Zimbabwean horse does not stand a chance, predicting that Urakilon will take the title with the mare Equina in hot pursuit.
Urakilon, I know he could win the race. Equina can also win the race. And then Lava Flow has improved from his last run. I wouldn't be surprised if he does win it 20-1.
If as predicted, Zimbabwe's Talitoo fails to finish in the top four, all the 50,000 stake money that Zimbabwean company Delta Beverages is putting into the race will go to Singapore and South Africa. The winning horse is guaranteed of 30,000, while the horse that comes second takes home 10,000. At least 6,000 is reserved for the horse that comes third, while the horse that completes the quartet takes home $3,000. The Castle Tankard, which is Africa's oldest sponsored horse racing event, will take place at Borrowdale Racecourse on May 7. This is Michael Cariati.
The National Basketball Association playoffs continue later Thursday night with one game. The Boston Celtics host the Atlanta Hawks in Game 6 of their first-round series. The Celtics trail 3-2 and need a victory to avoid elimination. Joining me now in Studio 22 is VOA's Rick Narcisse. Rick, welcome back to the sunny side of sports.
Thanks for having me, Sonny.
Rick, can you recap Wednesday night's 3 NBA playoff games for our VOA basketball fans?
Yes, I can. The Warriors and Rockets series featured two of the NBA's brightest stars in Stephen Curry and James Harden. They're the first and second leading scorers in the regular season. But for the most part, the series was typical of a 1-seed versus an 8-seed matchup. Besides the Warriors losing Game 3 on a game-winning shot by James Harden, they handled business without their superstar, Stephen Curry, who only played 2 games due to an ankle injury, then a knee sprain. The Warriors closed out the series last night on a 114-81 win. They win the series 4-1 behind Klay Thompson's 27 points and Draymond Green's 15 points, 9 rebounds, and 7 assists. Warriors head coach Steve Kerr talks about playing without Steph.
Obviously, going into the next series, which will be more difficult, it's good to have a few games under our belt without Steph, so we get a feel for it. You know, the rotation is much different, obviously, and the way we play is a little bit different. We just don't have, you know, the fireworks that Steph provides. So we've just got to make sure we're more solid, which we have been last couple games in particular. But it's good for our guys' confidence, and I think what pleases me the most is a lot of guys had great series, but everybody contributed, so it's a very gratifying win.
Gratifying indeed. Head coach Steve Kerr was named the NBA's Coach of the Year earlier this week after his team made history this season by winning 73 games. One of his best moves this postseason was starting Sean Livingston in the place of Stephen Curry. Here's Sean Livingston talking about going to the second round without Steph Curry.
Yeah, it's good for us. I think more importantly, moving forward, you know, we don't know how long he's going to be out. We obviously, you know, we're going to miss him. But at the same time, it's a lot of basketball to play. And for the next series, it's a good momentum booster.
Livingston has been playing well in Steph Curry's absence. He's had double figures in the last 3 games. All right, we can move up. We can stay out in the West. The theme of injuries continues as the Clippers lose their first and second option in Blake Griffin and Chris Paul due to a broken hand and a quad injury. The Portland Trailblazers were able to beat the Clippers last night, 108-98. It was a competitive game until about the midway through the fourth quarter, until the Portland Trailblazers were able to pull away. CJ McCollum had 27 points, and that was a game high. Moving to the East, and this is the final game. The Charlotte Hornets were able to win on the road 90-88 against Miami on a 3-pointer in the last 30 seconds by Courtney Lee. Dwayne Wade led all scorers with 25, but it just wasn't enough.
Rick, I imagine Michael Jordan, who owns the Charlotte Hornets, he must have been delighted with that shot by Courtney Lee. And what do you think of Jordan's Hornets and their chances of advancing?
I bet he was excited. When they won in Charlotte earlier this week, he was on the court congratulating his guys, you know, hugging the guys. And they look pretty good. They have Kemba Walker, their point guard. He's averaging 22 points in the series. And Jeremy Lin, we all remember him from a few years back. He was like the big name, Lin Sanity. And he's been playing well. He's kind of found his role on the team. And they've won three straight. They're one of the hottest teams coming into the playoffs. So they look good. They look good.
Let's go back to the Warriors, Rick. They've now moved on to the second round. Who do you see them playing in the next round? Do you think it's going to be Portland?
It's looking that way. It's going to be tough for the Clippers to beat Portland without their two best players, your best passer and your best finisher inside. It's just too much with CJ McCollum and Dame Lillard. The Clippers can't really compete with that right now.
Steph Curry, we're not sure when he's going to be back on the court. He was the leading scorer in the NBA during the regular season. Rick, can you run down some of the leaders in the playoffs in the various statistical categories?
Throughout the playoffs, in points, we have Paul George leading the way with 28.8 per game. Kyrie Irving's following him with 27.5. And James Harden right after that with 26.6. For rebounds, we have DeAndre Jordan of the Clippers, 15 rebounds per game. Dwight Howard's averaging 14 rebounds per game. And Mason Plumlee from Portland is averaging 13 rebounds per game. On to assists, Russell Westbrook is averaging 11.2 assists per game. Reggie Jackson following him with 9.3, and James Harden with 7.6.
Rick, earlier we heard from Steve Kerr, the NBA's Coach of the Year, and yet he missed a good chunk of the early part of the season recovering from back surgery, and Luke Walton was the interim coach for Golden State. Walton now reportedly maybe going to the Lakers to take over. Do you think that was warranted, Steve Kerr being named Coach of the Year?
I think he deserved it because you never really know what's happening behind the scenes. He was still a part of the team and involved in everything. It wasn't just Luke Walton took over while he was taking a holiday or something like that.
Right.
He was still around. He was still telling him what to do. He was still giving him advice. And, you know, I think he truly deserved that.
The injury factor, you mentioned the broken hand by Chris Paul, the leg injury by Blake Griffin, Steph Curry also having leg problems. Has that added maybe to the mystery of the NBA playoffs?
Yeah, everything's up in the air. Things could go any way now that I thought the Clippers were going to beat the Portland Trail Blazers, but after that, now it's looking like Portland's just going to take it. And, you know, Portland might give the Warriors some trouble if Steph doesn't come back. So, you know, you never know what's going to happen.
VOA's Rick Narciss, thanks for chatting with us, Rick.
Thanks for having me, Sonny.
Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. What's trending in the sports world on this Thursday?
Well, we were just talking about Golden State Warriors beating the Houston Rockets, winning that series 4-1. And Jason Terry of the Houston Rockets is getting a lot of grief today because yesterday he said, "I predict it, that we're going to win. I'm guaranteeing it," is the quote that he gave. And not only did his team lose by 33 points, 114-81, but Jason Terry did not score any points during the game. So he's getting mocked mercilessly on social media, people calling it the worst guarantee of all time, a major fail. My favorite is somebody said he went 0-8 in field goals, 0-9 if you include his guarantee. So, just, you know, kind of embarrassing for him. It just goes to show when you make these bold proclamations saying, "I guarantee we're going to win," nothing is guaranteed in sports. Even if you go out and say something like that, you're going to, you know, especially if you're wrong, you're going to get mocked on social media.
Speaking of bold proclamations, Andrew, did that bold, lopsided victory by Golden State surprise you without Steph Curry?
I think some people on social media were certainly surprised, but as we've talked about, it's a team with a very deep bench. So even if they don't have Steph Curry, people are thinking that they're going to, you know, go very far and could still win the whole thing, repeat as champions, as opposed to the LA Clippers that we've talked about with losing Chris Paul and Blake Griffin. those are their two kind of marquee players, and they maybe don't have as much strength after those two. But there's a reason why this Golden State Warriors team won 73 games this season and broke the record, and it's not entirely Steph Curry. He had a big part of it, but there are other members of that team that helped him to get there. So I think that's why they're succeeding.
One of those members, Sean Livingston, we heard from him earlier in the show, Andrew. He described the victory over the Rockets as a good momentum booster as they prepare for the next round. Your reaction?
Well, the Rockets and Jason Terry could have used a booster, to borrow a rocket metaphor. They could have used a rocket booster maybe to not lose by 33 points. But no, I think it's, you know, certainly for the fans, I think it's a psychological boost knowing that Steph Curry is out for at least in, you know, the next series, the next couple of weeks, to say, okay, we can still do this. We're still rocking and rolling. We're winning by huge margins. We may not have Steph Curry, but we're still going to win. We're still going to work towards that championship. And then imagine if he comes back during these playoffs. I mean, if he can get back in time in the next couple of weeks, then they're saying, imagine what we'll do then.
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Andrew, what else is trending in the sports world?
Well, the National Football League, the American-style football we play here in the U.S., may not start really until the summer, until August or September, but all eyes are on the National Football League because they're doing their draft starting this evening, going Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So you have two players that are college players that people are going back and forth wondering which one of them is going to be selected first in the NFL draft. You have Jared Goff, who's the quarterback at University of California, Berkeley. You have Carson Wentz, who's the quarterback at North Dakota State. So you have these two players expected to be the top two picks. Los Angeles Rams have the first pick. It's the first year they're going to be in Los Angeles. They moved from St. Louis. Philadelphia Eagles have the second pick, so they're wondering which quarterback is going to be taken by which team. But it's become really a social media event, this National Football League draft. You have the players, you know, tweeting out and sending in videos when they get the phone call, or if they're in the arena when their name gets called. You have the teams that are kind of hinting at who they might pick or just getting their fans amped up. And the two quarterbacks that we're talking about, they've even tweeted out. We had Jared Goff tweeted out. He said, "The big day is finally here. Excited for what the future holds. #draftday. And then for Carson Wentz, he says, "As a kid, I wrote that I wanted to be a professional football player someday. Today, that becomes reality." So some really, you know, inspiring words from both of them.
Another quarterback you mentioned, I think you mentioned him yesterday, as a matter of fact, Andrew, Tom Brady of the New England Patriots. If we go back quite a few years, he was not a first-round draft pick by the Patriots. I think he was like round 5 or 6. So a quarterback can be a linchpin for a franchise.
Yeah, and that's, you know, there's a lot of people in anticipation for this draft going back on social media looking at previous years and saying, well, look at these people that went maybe in the first round or even the top picks, and they kind of were a bust. They weren't really a great pick. So even though these two quarterbacks are getting a lot of the attention, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to succeed in the NFL. But all eyes are on them as they're expected to be the top two picks. We'll see if they continue tweeting out. I have no doubt that they will. I wouldn't be surprised to see maybe even some players live streaming using Periscope or Facebook Live as they're waiting for the draft. Like I said, it's become a social media event running all through the weekend for football fans. Everybody's following it, not just on TV, but on social media, on the live streaming, all over the place. So if you're a football fan, that's where you're going to be this weekend, watching that draft.
And clearly one of the highlights in the career of all these young players.
Absolutely. It's a moment to remember, getting your name called, you know, getting to your first shot. As Carson Wentz said, you know, that becomes a reality today. And that's really the moment. You see a lot of emotion when these players get called up. So we'll see that. We'll see that cataloged on social media, I have no doubt.
Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Thanks for joining us again, Andrew.
Thank you very much.
And we'll see you on Friday. And that wraps up the April 28th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger, VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
This month marks the second anniversary of the kidnapping of more than 200 Nigerian girls from their school in Chibok by the terrorist group Boko Haram. These girls, between the ages of 16 and 18, were captured while at their boarding school. The United States again calls for the immediate release without preconditions of all hostages held by Boko Haram. Nigeria's military has succeeded in driving Boko Haram out of its strongholds, leaving it seriously weakened. Nevertheless, across northeastern Nigeria and in neighboring countries such as Cameroon and southern Niger, Boko Haram continues to wreak havoc. They relentlessly attack villages, murder countless individuals, and kidnap civilians, including women and girls, some of whom are subjected to forced labor and sex slavery through forced marriages to Boko Haram terrorists. Amnesty International reported that Boko Haram in 2015 and 2016 had abducted at least 2,000 women. According to a recently released UNICEF report, Boko Haram uses children to detonate bombs. Indeed, nearly one of every five such attacks carried out by the terrorist group last year used a child, and more than two-thirds of those were girls. The United States continues to assist the Nigerian government with intelligence and advisory support in an effort to locate and bring home all of those who have been kidnapped by Boko Haram. In the last 2 years, the United States has provided nearly $198 million in humanitarian assistance to the region to deliver conflict-affected populations with transitional assistance, counseling services, health programs, and emergency education for children displaced by violence. The United States continues to stand with the people of the Lake Chad Basin to combat the deadly scourge of Boko Haram.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. For a transcript of this and other VOA editorials, or to receive editorials by email, visit the VOA Editorials Internet homepage at www.voanews.com/editorials.
Africa, this is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
Feast with your ears on Music Time in Africa, your connection to the best Pan-African music. Hello, this is Heather Maxwell inviting you to join me every Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC. Every show brings you the best music from across the continent. Old songs you know and love, and new songs to discover. You'll meet artists, too. Listen to Africa's superstars and rising stars in exclusive, unplugged interviews on the radio or on my YouTube channel. Search for Heather Maxwell, Music Time in Africa. We play only the best right here on VOA Africa.